Okay, 2:2. I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men, and that you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. This is God's praise. This is Christ's praise to this church, because they had amongst them people who were claiming to have knowledge and people who were calling themselves apostles and leading the brethren astray. And they would not put up with it. They would test them and they would prove them to be false, and Christ praised them for that. On the other hand, the church in Thyatira, full of faith, full of good works, full of service, full of love, full of growing in their faith. But for some reason, they had this person, Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess among them. And she was, you know, it's one thing to have a person that might believe something different than you, that might still hold to some old ways, that hasn't really learned yet to put away some of the things. It's another thing to have a person in the group and among you who goes about pulling others away, to follow after something opposite. And, you know, she was called a prophetess. And so we will look at just how bad, when Christ called this person Jezebel, what does that bring to mind? You know, I put some things here for your understanding. What does the word Jezebel bring to your mind? Anyone? Does anybody know who Jezebel was? I think we all do, don't we? Was she a nice person? Did she believe in God? Did she help her husband believe in God and follow God? Did she surround herself with the prophets of God? In fact, I wrote in your thing there, she was ruthless. She was. She attempted to draw the Israelites to worship the god Baal. And she got her husband to set up idols and altars and temples to follow after these false gods. And she had the priests of those of Baal eaten with her. She associated with these people. They ate at her table. So she persuaded, you know, Ahab to try to kill Elijah, you know, after he had the contest with the priest of Baal, and of course killed them all, the 400, as we can read in 2 Kings and 1 Kings. And so what happened to Jezebel? Just like the prophet said, there was nothing left but the palms of her hand, I think, you know. And what happened to her children and the whole family of Ahab? In 2 Kings 9, let's turn over to 2 Kings 9. And we're going to read this because of what Christ says later about this, the other Jezebel. In 2 Kings 9, verses 7 and 8. Deanna, do you have that? Would you read it, please?
You shall strike down the house of Ahab your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. I will cut off from Ahab all the males of Israel, both bond and free.
Okay, and then chapter 10, verse 11. So Jehu killed all who remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men and his acquaintances and his priests, until he left them without a survivor. When the Lord spoke by the prophet against the house of Ahab and against Jezebel, it came to pass. You could just count on it, it was going to happen. And it did. And not too near future. And as we see reading in between there, the sons that come up to rule, they're murdered by their servants. Someone else comes up to rule, they're murdered by their brother. You know, and so there is this constant evil in the house, but it brings about Jehu coming in to power and killing, you know, and in with the king and killing and fulfilling the prophecy concerning the whole house of Ahab and Jezebel. Her children, there was not one descendant left. There was no priest left. There was nothing left of the reign and the scope and the influence of Ahab, except maybe the evil, you know, but because we find Jeroboam's evil all the way down, you know, in Israel's kings and history and everything about serving idols and Baal. So their influence is still there. And that's one of the things that we have to consider with ourselves, you know. Things may get better for us, or things might, you think that it's over, but somewhere down the line, you know, the influence is still there. And so, now, in, so the church there in Thyatira had this woman, Jezebel, and knowing the character of this person, I don't think her name was probably Jezebel. It may be just that Jesus is calling her, you know, to put the connotation of this kind of person and the influence and the evil. And then when he gets around to proclaiming the guilt and the condemnation on her, you know, it sort of reminds us of the same thing. And so, as a prophetess, number six, as a prophetess, what was this Jezebel doing, you know, among the saints in Thyatira? What was she guilty of? Verse 20.
Teaching and leading them astray.
She was saying, you know, this. She was calling herself a prophetess, so-called spokesperson. I don't think she was a spokesperson for God of the heaven. I think she was a spokesperson probably for the gods, you know, whoever they were around there, whether it be the ones of the guilds or of the emperors, but probably most likely the Samoth and the Apollo or whoever else was there, you know, as an idolatrous god, that she had this secret way of knowing and speaking for these gods. And we say, how can, you know, Jesus calls these saints that are being drawn away his bond servants. These are folks who have believed in his name, obeyed him, confessed his name, but it's being drawn away. Maybe there's some that are weaker in faith, you know, but this secret knowledge, as it's talked about over here, what Jesus said they called this thing, the secret things of Satan, isn't it true that has an allurement to know something secret? You know, how foolish can they be? It's Satan, you know. But we say, how foolish can they be? Or how can somebody today, who's a faithful child of Christ, who believes the Bible, how can they be drawn away by a teaching that says there is no resurrection? That's going on today. Are the secret things in a code that will add something to how we interpret the Bible? People are falling into the clutches of that today and being drawn away. into that. And so we say, well, how in the world could the saints in Thyatira be drawn away by something as evil as the secret things of Satan? Well, you know, we better be careful. We may fall prey. We don't call it the secret things of Satan. You know, surely we're not going to follow after that. But Satan has a way, as we will see in a minute, of making things look good, even, you know, to the gods of this world that we might turn to serve. And so these people, you know, but she was making them compromise their true service and devotion to the Son of God. All of the gospel, what that entails, to follow after the gods that she was proclaiming and the secret things of Satan that she was leading them away with. They were not staying true to the gospel. They were not staying true to just serving the God of heaven, the Son of God, the King of Kings, and doing just His bidding. They were looking for the favor, so to speak, of the false gods. And so, let's turn to Titus 1, and we'll see as we turn there in Titus 1:15. Pat, would you read 15 and 16 of Titus 1, please?
To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed.
So see, those, there were brethren there in Thyatira. Christ praised most of the brethren there. They had good deeds. They were following God. But here was this little number that was following after Jezebel, and their deeds, you know, that's the opposite. They're worthless. And the things that they were doing, they were not following after the truth. And so we're going to be picking up that a little bit more in your number 8. But so, Jesus called these, number 7. What did you put down? What did Jesus say that these things were called in Revelation 2:24? The deep things of Satan. And he says, as they call them. And so, the deep things of Satan. You know, in Revelation 2:9, when we studied Smyrna, Jesus called the Jews there and the influence and the persecution. He called the Jews there a synagogue of Satan. So there's another face, you see, of how Satan was demonstrating his power in the Lord's church and what they were having to deal with. And so, and also in Pergamum, as we had studied in Revelation 2:13, Jesus refers to the harsh rule and influence of the Roman emperors, probably, and idol worship in Pergamum as, I know where you dwell. You dwell where Satan's throne is. There was so much evil. And so now, just right down the road, in another congregation of the Lord's faithful people, there is, Satan is there alive and well and doing his stuff, you know, to get his, Jesus' bond servants drawn away and to follow after him instead of following the Son of God. While Jesus was on earth, Satan did everything he could to keep him off the cross. Did everything except putting him to death. He thought that would end it. But, you know, trying to allure him, trying to tempt him, trying to make him less than what the pure Son of God going to the cross would be. And so Jesus overcame him there, and Jesus is saying, you know, be faithful and repent of these things, and you can overcome. In every one of these churches, he said, you can overcome. He doesn't put anything on any of his bond servants, his slaves, so to speak, his servants, that they can't do by faith and by trust. And see, these guys that were leaving were not trusting or seeking the favor of him. They were trusting and seeking the favor of the gods of the day, after Jezebel. And she was leading them astray in that. And so, Satan is a liar, and he's the father of lies. We find that in John 8:44. Jesus said it. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, we see that he is a deceiver, even though he appears as an angel of light. He can make things look really good. He can compromise something so much that your conscience won't bother you, and that you compromise those things, and you just draw away little by little, saying, it's okay this one time, or it's okay you've got to work, it's okay you've got to try to appease in some way. And all of us have known situations in our own life where that has come to where we have to make some kind of decision. You know, whether we're going to compromise or where we're going to stand true. And but the devil is ever ready, trying to get us to see that it's not such a bad thing. And so Satan is always out there. 1 Peter 5:8 says that he's a lion out there trying to devour us. You know, he goes around as a roaring lion. And so he's always against God. He's always against Jesus. And he's always against the faithful. And we can't fool ourselves into thinking that we've got him licked. You know. And so we have to keep faith. We have to check ourselves. And so what's the danger? In number 8, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2 before we do your number 8. In 1 Corinthians 2. I didn't put this on your sheet, if you would like to. I just want to bring this to your mind, because we're going to be talking about the words from the Son of God and what the Son of God said to them and his will for them, and the deep things of Satan that we're talking about in number 8. In 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 12, it says, now I exhort you, brethren. Wait a minute. I'm in the wrong one. Sorry. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians, and he says, for to us, talking about the apostles, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Now remember, these secret things of Satan that she was supposed to be teaching, and you know, and they were supposed to be learning? Well, here's the opposite of that. To us, the apostles, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Before Christ left earth, in John 14:13 through, you know, 16, he's talking to his apostles, and he says, I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to take what is mine, and he's going to give it to you. And he's going to speak things, and he's going to lead you into all the truth, and you will know the things. And in 2:16, he says, who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. So, the Bible, the teaching, the gospel, the letters, these people who in Thyatira, full of faith, full of good works, they knew the Word of God. They just weren't left out here in left field by themselves with some little story they heard some time ago. They had it. They were growing. And then comes along this person in their midst and is pulling away by these deep things of Satan. And Christ says, you tolerate this. Christ doesn't like when someone is pulling his bondservants away into error. And so he addresses that, and then he addresses Jezebel and those who are following after her, and we'll hopefully get to that. So the danger that I gave you these verses, everyone is familiar with Deuteronomy 18. What's it talk about in Deuteronomy 18? How can you tell a true prophet from a false prophet? If what he says comes true. And so, and in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 through 4, and those passages, what's that talking about? Let's turn. 2 Corinthians 11. Amanda, if you find that, 11, 3, and 4, would you read it, please?
But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, we must be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, who ye bear this beautifully.
Okay. Man, had little problems in Corinth about that, didn't he? Of course, he's in satire here. But he says, you know, you've turned on me. You're not listening to what I say. You're finding fault with me. And yet anybody else can come in and just say anything, and you just bear with that beautifully. You know, of course, but if anyone other than. Let's drop down to 13 through 15. And he says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even see Satan disguising himself as an angel of light. Therefore, if it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to the deeds. I do not think that this Jezebel was this kind of person. I really do think that she or Christ wouldn't have said that they were talking about the deep things of Satan. People who are like this do not say, I'm teaching the deep things of Satan. They say, I've got, you know, I had this revelation. I've got this, you know, let me tell you the truth about this. And so, but it's a warning about, and then, of course, the standard that I had you to, what is the standard from which we must ascertain truth? What does Galatians 1 say? What did you put down? Christ's teaching? Very good.
Even when angels from heaven teach them something else, it's contrary to what they have already been taught.
Absolutely.
So what had been written to them.
Exactly. What the apostles taught, what was written to them, what was preached if they were there in the city, what was preached by them, even if an angel of heaven comes in and teaches something contrary to that, let him be accursed. Don't listen to it. It is not from God. So that sort of covers some of this secret knowledge that's going on back then, whether it be from Satan or even today. We've got secret knowledge. You know, the Gnostics were in the first century. They were going around really causing trouble. They had this secret knowledge, and you've got to know it, you know, but only a few can know the secret knowledge. So it's always been a problem for God's people. And so we have to look at God's Word. That's why it's important for Bible study. That's why the church in Ephesus was praised, because they tested them, you know, by doctrine and found them to be false. And so, evidently, the good saints in Thyatira weren't doing this to the extent that maybe the Lord would want them to do, because they were faithful. They were able to do this. They were growing in their faith. Now, some of these poor, maybe weakened faith souls that were being led away, maybe they didn't have the knowledge to stand up and say, this is not right. But those, some of those that Christ is talking about did. And so, in number 9, I thought for thought, you know, it is possible for a person to come in with false doctrine. We have to ever be ready to pay attention to what's going on and what's trying to be taught. Before Wally and I moved away from Baton Rouge, there was a young preacher who came in with false teaching, committed adultery with someone else's wife, and tore that church asunder. The doors ended up closing, and Wally and I ended up going to Gonzales, and some of the other members that were faithful, you know, went to the other congregation in Baton Rouge. But, you know, those things go on. And there was just a small group of Christians. I was 23 years old at the time. And then I was 26 at the time of the closing of the doors, and Eric, you know, was born. And so, but, you know, this... it was such a horrible thing there in the church. But people were being led astray by his charisma, by his, you know, way to beguile them. And, you know, by his deeds and by his teaching, he was completely false. And the consequences of that. And so we have to be careful. And so it can happen even today. Remember, Christ wants purity in the lives and in the teaching of his saints. And so we've studied that before. Number 11. Mark in your third color what Christ had wanted Jezebel and her followers to do. Okay? The ones who had not followed after her teaching, but was rebuked for Christ for tolerating. So see, he's got these three different categories. He's got Jezebel, and he's got the followers. And then, I believe, he also wants the very good, faithful to repent from tolerating her. But, so, repent. Out of sorrow for sinning against God, stop what you're doing. Turn back to God. Do right. Confess your sins. Trust in Jesus. He's going to forgive you. He wants to. In fact, if you read that there in Revelation, he even gave Jezebel time to repent. Can you imagine? If it were you or me, and we were the God of heaven, and we died on the cross for these souls, and she was one of ours, and she started doing this and pulling others away, don't you think that we would just want to, you know, I don't care about you. You made your bed, lie in it. Which she doesn't repent, she's going to. And so, you know, but Christ, he died on the cross for this person too. And so, you know, the Son of God is saying, I'm giving her time to repent. I've given her time to repent. So, you know, if a person has been given time to repent, in some form, they have been told they're doing wrong somehow, right? They should know better. Whether it's her knowledge of the gospel, or maybe some of the good brethren have gone to her and told her, you know, you need to repent of this. This isn't right. And so, Christ had given her time to repent. And so, and hold fast was his other word that he says there. Hold fast. In verse 25. Holding fast is to keep, continue in, remain fixed. Okay? Firm, strong, sound. In your faith, in your love, in your service. That's what he told these people that had not been drawn away by her work. You continue on in what you're doing. Keep growing in faith. Keep serving. Keep loving. Don't let down. Sometimes that is a possibility for us, isn't it? That we go along and we're doing really great, and then something comes along and we just sort of let down. And we're going to be talking about a church that just got plain complacent in it, Lord willing, when we get to Sardis. And so, who thought they were alive but dead. And so, it's easy sometimes to let down. It's easy to quit growing. It's easy to let up in service and love. And so we need to hold fast. But Christ told them in 21, 22, 24, and 25 to repent. And then to those, what you have, hold fast. Okay, any comments about that? Any questions about anything that's been said? Okay, we will start, Lord willing, we're going to finish with number 12. There are copies of Sardis' letter on the back pew as you go out if you have not gotten that. And we will pick up with that.